Okay, great. Thank you for joining us by phone, and your attorney is here up at the table. So I'm going to go ahead and get started here on the informal interview. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Elizabeth Munhall in case number 22-131. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Munhall, please introduce yourself, and then your attorney can as well. So, yeah.
This is Elizabeth Munhall.
Great, thank you.
And, okay.
This is Leanne Hay appearing on behalf of Dr. Munhall.
Great, thank you both. Dr. Munhall, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you or your attorney have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We don't have any additional materials.
Okay, great. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Let's see, Dr. Thompson, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Sure. On August 14th, 2021, Toby, an approximately 8-year-old male Bichon Maltese mix, was presented to the respondent's associate, Dr. Bixon, for a dental cleaning. Blood and urine was collected for testing and revealed the dog was a surgical candidate. The procedure was performed and the dog was discharged later that day. August 17th through August 20th, 2021, the dog was presented to respondent's premises due to vomiting and not eating. The dog did not improve and blood work revealed elevated liver enzymes. On August 21st, 2021, the dog was presented to a specialist for advanced diagnostics and treatment. After evaluation and abdominal ultrasound, acute hepatitis was suspected.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Munhall, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear that the evidence provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay. Dr. Munhall, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I will be just preparing or providing a short statement. We are again requesting dismissal with at most a letter of concern for the record keeping issues that we discussed at the prior board meeting. My understanding from the last meeting is that this informal interview is related to whether or not supportive care was provided to Toby on August 20th and not related to the record keeping concerns that we talked about at the last meeting. So I will not be addressing those unless the board has questions. Dr. Munhall understands the board's concerns on this matter. However, her care on August 20th was appropriate with regard to providing supportive care. First, the dog was only present for about 45 minutes shortly before closing. The timestamps in the records showing that the dog arrived in the morning are incorrect. And second, Dr. Munhall did discuss the potential of supportive care with the owner and document that discussion. Just for the board's convenience, I'm going to be referencing the records from August 20th. I know the records kind of came in a set with a bunch of page numbers. This one on the bottom will say page blank out of 11. That's the record set that I'm referencing. So Dr. Munhall saw the patient again on this day. The owner brought Toby in shortly before 4:30 p.m. The records say that the dog was dropped off at 9 a.m., but this is incorrect. Dr. Munhall specifically recalls that the owner brought the dog in shortly before Banfield closes, which is at 6 p.m. Dr. Munhall then did an initial evaluation and examination of the dog, and only after receiving authorization from the owner for the planned blood work did she enter her treatment plan, which if you go to page 8 of 11, you can see was entered at 4:27 p.m. We know that this 4:27 p.m. time is accurate, first, because it's consistent with Dr. Munhall's memory, but second, there is a time listed in that 4:27 plan. That is not a time stamp, but it was actually manually entered that says that the owner approved the plan at 4:27. And so after the owner approved the plan at approximately 4:30, lab tests were run. Some of those lab tests come as showing as coming in at, on August 20th at 2:18 p.m. You can see that on page 3. But others show as not coming in until the following day, August 21st at 3 p.m. That's on page 5. This is obviously incorrect because the labs were not ordered until after 4:30 when Dr. Munhall created and the owner approved the plan of care, which included ordering the labs. It's also obviously incorrect because some of the labs state that they did not come back until the next day when Dr. Munhall did rely on those labs in making her recommendations of care. Based on those lab tests, Dr. Munhall recommended an AFAST scan, which was performed, and based on those findings, Dr. Munhall then recommended referral to internal medicine and ER referral. We do understand the board's prior concerns if the pet was dropped off at 9 a.m. and did not receive any care until leaving closer to closing time. However, it's clear from the records they're simply wrong in some of their timestamps. It's not possible first that the pet was dropped off at 9 a.m. and not seen by Dr. Munhall until 4:30. Banfield, as the board knows, is within PetSmart and not equipped for this type of care. Additionally, if you look at Dr. Munhall's note that is time-stamped on page 9, but is actually substantively on page 10, it's time-stamped at 9:01 a.m. On August 20th, but is clearly written after the full encounter. It references the labs, ultrasound, referral, and the owner's plan to take the dog to Phoenix Veterinary Referral, which was all determined at the end of the visit, and so this note could not have been at 9:01 a.m. It's unclear why some of these timestamps are wrong or why the records say that the visit starts at 9 a.m. Our only hypothesis is that it was a walk-in appointment and the system defaults to 9 a.m., but unfortunately we just don't know. However, what we do know is that the dog was only present for about 45 minutes. The owner was present with the dog the entire time. The records show that Dr. Munhall saw the dog for the first time shortly before 4:30, and that the labs, ultrasound, and referral occurred after that 4:30. Dr. Munhall didn't create this software, as we talked about at the prior appointment. She didn't choose it for Banfield. She has no control over it. She acknowledges that there are timestamp errors in the charting, but couldn't do anything to fix them, as it appears to be related to the software rather than user error. And also, just briefly worth noting is that you can't go in and amend timestamps, so it was not within her control to address this issue. And other evidence from the record shows that it was an error rather than the pet actually being present all day. Additionally, if you look again at her note that's substantively on page 10, you will see that Dr. Munhall did actually discuss supportive care with the owner at the outset of the appointment. Dr. Munhall was asked by the owner about providing fluids, and she explained that the pet did appear hydrated on exam, but that blood work could further determine dehydration. She also explained that fluids could provide some symptomatic treatment to the pet, but that giving fluids when you don't know what you're treating isn't always the best option, because the results of the blood work can explain what fluids you need, if any, if any additives are needed, et cetera. And so as documented, the owner understood that and stated that she would wait for the blood work results. This complied with the standard of care for Dr. Munhall to discuss supportive care, but none needed to be given since the pet was only there for such a short period of time. Accordingly, Dr. Munhall appropriately discussed the possibility of supportive care with the owner during the very short window, and we are again asking for a dismissal with a most a letter of concern for the prior record-keeping issues that we have discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions of Dr. Munhall.
Yes, Dr. Munhall, this is Dr. Thompson. I had a question around the timestamps, and I know that I formerly worked for Banfield, so I am familiar with the PetSmart system and how frustrating that it can be. I just wanted to ask the question, if there were issues with timestamps, had you noticed it previously, and had you mentioned it to your management?
It's not an issue that I've run into in the past. I've never had a situation similar to this that I've had to deal with, so this is the first time that I've been dealing with this, and that was not something that I initially noted when I was provided the information regarding this case or the review. That's something that, per the discussion with the board, it was brought up, and that was then brought to my attention, but not something that I noticed initially. No.
And I'll just add, I'm sure board members that you're familiar with this from looking at records in cases versus seeing them on your own, that the electronic system that I'm sure most of you use on your computers often reflects very differently from the paper printed version that we have here, especially with regard to timestamps. And so even had Dr. Munhall gone back and reviewed the records on her computer for the patient, there is a very good chance, personally not knowing what it looks like on a computer, that it would reflect differently than what the records we have here that have these timestamps.
And I can't speak to the current PetWare version, but I do know that when I was there, you would actually see the timestamp though. I can't say that there hasn't been changes in the past few years.
They like to change though.
Yes. So thank you for that clarification. Just one other quick clarification. There was a mention of not offering fluids because at times those fluid therapy may alter what you need to do based on the blood work. Based on your initial assessment of Toby on that day when you did the fluids, it did say that he had tacky mucous membrane, so you were concerned about dehydration, correct?
Yeah, I didn't mark specifically the degree of dehydration. Yes, it was tacky, but his refill time was still less than 2 seconds. I didn't note a skin tint or anything like that. So yes, in the parameters, based on this information, I would say yes, he was dehydrated. Again, with regards to the type of fluids or the extent of dehydration, of course, exam can tell you so much, but blood work can also further explain how or, you know, to the degree of dehydration they truly have. And then if there's any electrolyte abnormalities and if we need to correct those as well. So that was mostly the discussion with her, is she wanted treatment right away to make him feel better. But my explanation to her is that, yes, of course, we can provide these things. That's something that we can further do based on this information we have so far. But I don't know truly what I'm giving him or why I'm giving him if I don't know what his problem is. I know that he's dehydrated, but there's many causes of dehydration in general.
Thank you. But at the same time, would you agree that if we do have a pet who's dehydrated, giving potentially sub-Q fluids while we're pending those diagnostics, what if this diagnostic was going out on a Saturday evening and we weren't going to have results back until Monday?
Yes, at that time, if we had done, you know, further workup, and let's say that we get to a point, like you're saying, a stopping point where we don't have all the information, then yes, symptomatic treatment can be provided, which I did say, you know, we can provide symptomatic treatment. So I did discuss that with her, but my ultimate goal for her was, we've already tried symptomatic treatment at this point in time. We've tried sub-Q fluids, we've tried fluids while he was in the hospital with Dr. W, we've tried, you know, probiotics, diet, and also at this point, we've kind of already basically already provide symptomatic care at that point in time. So we really truly need an answer on what we're treating and how to provide that specific tailored treatment based on that information. So I guess if that helps further answer your question, is that we didn't have all the information to really know what we're treating and how to treat that effectively, since it's been clear that we've tried these treatments and he's essentially failed that symptomatic treatment. With some of the studies I had also read as well, is that even providing sub-Q fluids, although it can be symptomatic or supportive, that in most cases it actually doesn't truly provide the relief that we need for the extent of dehydration that they truly have, and IV fluids in that case would be indicated. And in that case, since we are not an overnight facility, and starting the IV fluids, et cetera, since he may be transferred to an overnight care, would not be in the best interest for him, at least at that time.
Thank you. And then just one other question for you, going back to the 8/17 visit. At that time, there was some discrepancies on whether or not you had actually offered treatment to Toby at that time, and then it was not noted in your medical record. Is that correct?
Give me one moment. I am just finding that page to confirm. So the information I provided for her in there was the information on the medication, the side effects of the medication, what to look for if there's no improvement with the medication, which was the supportive care that I had provided to her, or the recommended supportive care.
Right, you gave her information on what to expect from that medication, but at that time, did you offer blood work or advanced diagnostics with him not feeling well on the 17th?
Yes, this is not noted in the medical record. I've stated this previously as well. So that was something that was missed in the medical record. Although it was discussed, no, it was not noted in the medical record.
Okay, all right. No further questions for me, thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other questions?
Dr. Thompson, where are the which attachment are the medical?
They are actually under.
It's in Vixen, yeah.
Yeah, in Vixen.
And it's the one that has like a picture of the dental cleaning and aftercare.
Yeah,
that's the one. It took me a while to find them.
I'm like, I wrote notes in my notebook about them, so I know I looked at them, but I cannot find them.
Yeah. It's only 143 pages.
Yeah. Standard records.
Yes. So, does anybody else have any questions?
Yeah. So we, the board is the complainant in this case, so we don't need to bring anyone forward there. So if board members don't have any other questions, then if Dr. Munhall, if you or your attorney would like to give any final remarks, you're welcome to do so.
Just reiterating that we are again asking for a dismissal, as Dr. Munhall said, that she did discuss the treatment options on August 17th that we've talked about before. As to August 20th, Dr. Munhall did go over the option of supportive care, as she's explained today, why it was not in the pet's best interest, but ultimately did leave it up to the owner's decision, which is charted. She declined. She was, again, only there for a very short period of time, and so while we understand the board's prior concerns about the pet being there for, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours without having anything done, it was only, you know, likely less than an hour that the pet was present before confirming the issues and deciding to seek referral at Phoenix Veterinary Referral. With that, we are asking for a dismissal.
Okay. Last call for any other further questions for board members? Okay, so this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. Thompson, since you're the lead, I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, this case is gotta be difficult for both the owner and the veterinarians involved when you have multiple doctors and things are getting bounced back and forth. In looking through the records, it is difficult because I am familiar with the petware system and know like there's usually only way something gets time snapped. But maybe it was something along the lines of the owner had called and said she wanted to do that and somebody checked her in because she had been in before, like, and that's the lines that got there. So I'm not really going to dispute that too much. The doctor remembers the time that she took care of the pet and the treatment that she gave to the pet. I guess for me, when I start looking back at that medical record, knowing that we say it didn't happen if it's not in the medical record. So even though we said that we gave recommendations for treatment on the 17th, it is not in the medical record. So I would say, for me, I find that problematic, and that we may issue a letter of concern about not putting your discussion of the treatment plan with the client in the medical record.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Second.
Okay. So motion to issue a letter of concern then, and a second. There's, yes, sorry. Can,
To dismiss the charges and offer a letter of concern.
Thank you, Victoria.
Nice.
Okay, so dismissing and offering a letter of concern in the case of 22-131. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. The letter of concern. Thank you, Dr. Munhall. You can hang up the phone now.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.